I started getting some things the other day. I was thinking about some scripture, you know, and Paul was telling the Romans to owe no man nothing but to love him. And, you know, and we've talked about that, you know, and it really is a good scripture, and it's a good premise to stand on. But here's where, first off, we need, I'm just going to skim on this real quick. It is not forbidding you to go get a loan. Okay? However, everybody who knows that when you borrow and you get in debt, you become a slave to the bank, to the credit card, to the car payment, to whatever. You become that slave. You have to pay that debt. You have to pay that bill. But that was, first off, not what the Apostle Paul was talking about. He did say nothing. And as I was pondering on that and thinking on that, I was reminded of what Jesus said. You know, he said, owe no man anything. So if you owe somebody something, what have you got? Debt. Matthew 6:12 says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's New King James, but that is what it means. Forgive us something I owe somebody. Forgive me of something I owe somebody. And I guess I was, you know, started thinking, well, we don't want to sin against our brothers and sisters, do we? We don't want to cause them harm. And the truth of the matter is, when I really started reading Romans about this, I started seeing that actually there's a lot more to it, because Paul said, owe no man. Not just the brothers and sisters in the Lord. That's easy for us to do, right? We don't want to hurt each other. But inevitably, because we're human beings, we get our feelings hurt, don't we? Something always happens, and we, maybe somebody said something, and they didn't mean it to come off the way it sounded. There's a Christian comedian, and he was talking about the conversations with his wife, and he says, first thing, men, he said, women do not hear it the way you heard it. So he says, anytime I've said something and my wife looks funny, I'm like, ooh, what did you just hear? Because he said, I didn't mean it that way, but it's what she heard. And sometimes we get bent out of shape because of that. And so this morning I want you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Whoops. Forgot my own. They're already in the back. I'll have to add it later. Romans chapter 12, let's go to verse 9. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Okay, first off, you need to understand this. Hypocrisy means acting. And Barbie, would you do me a favor and take that to the ushers? Thank you. Get it in there and get it counted now. That's what it means to be a hypocrite. Doesn't mean Christianity. That's where everybody throws it at. You can be a hypocrite and be a sinner. The word hypocrite described their actors. Okay? So here's a good way, and here's, in my opinion, a real hypocrite. How many of you have seen the movie Aliens? You know, comes out of the belly and all that, Sigourney Weaver. She's got all these big guns. Boom, 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 boom. She is anti-gun. That is a hypocrite. She played a gun nut on the show, had no problem with the gun. She's portraying something. That's what hypocrite means. You say one thing over here, but you're acting out over here. And Paul says, let your love be without hypocrisy. Don't be, oh, God bless you, sister. Oh, yes, I just love you. I can't stand that woman. I should try. That's what it's talking about. We're all a little strange, aren't we? Let's be honest. What? Some of us are a lot. That come from my wife. So we start getting a little hypocritical with our love towards each other. And the Bible says what happens is because it starts to grow cold. We start, well, I'm just so used to them and this and this and this. And we just fall into the trap that a lot of marriages fall into. You get used to your spouse, you start taking them for granted, and boom. Verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Now, this does not mean we play Chip and Dale all the time, you know, from Walt Disney cartoons. After you, no, after you, after you, after you. Remember that whole argument? Somebody go through the stinking door. And don't be one of those people at a traffic light when you've got a line of traffic behind you who says, I'm going to let that guy over there turn. He's abiding by the law that says he has to wait for that traffic. You're holding all the traffic up, so now the guy who might be late for work is going to be late. So tell me where the love is. Oh, I had to give preference to this guy. Now, if you see Richard coming through town with his 18-wheeler trying to turn into co-op and you can stop traffic, stop and let him across because the people behind him will appreciate you. And it won't take him long to get across there. If you know where he works, it can be a booger to get in and out of. I'm just talking about different things. So many people are, we just wave them on, just wave them on. Just follow the law and you'll be okay. But it is courteous, especially when somebody's in a predicament. They're trying to get a lot of traffic through there. If you know anything about that intersection up here at the point, it's nuts. Even with a car. All right. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. All of this is how we serve God. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Pray always. Okay, that doesn't mean that you got to stop, pull out your little rug, lay down and face Jerusalem. Prayer is a continual thing. Your spirit, you are filled with the very Holy Spirit that would fill the Holy of Holies. The day that Jesus died, that the veil was torn. That thing was 6 inches thick, hand woven. It's hard to rip a shirt sometimes because of how tight. This thing was 6 inches thick. It was meant to contain the Holy Spirit. And God said, no more. He ripped it, and on the day of Pentecost, he said, now my spirit will live in them. That was the first time since Noah. My spirit will no longer live with them. He took the Holy Spirit in the beginning of Genesis and in the book of Acts. He said, I'm going to fill you now with my Holy Spirit. So we're in fellowship, yes. Continued fellowship. See, 24 years, sharing the same brain. She can almost preach my messages because God's giving it to me as we're going. Continued fellowship with the Holy Spirit all the time. We walk around with the very presence that in the temple when the high priest would go in and he would have his incense burners and he would be waving it around and dancing it around. And the bells would be chiming on the bottom of his robes, and the song, the bells are ringing, he's alive. It's not the ding-dong bell on top of the church. It was the bells on the bottom of the high priest's skirt, because when they heard the bells stop, they pulled the rope that was tied around his ankle and pulled him out because God had struck him dead because it was not acceptable. The presence of God is that holy. And because of that, we now have that Holy Spirit within us. And Paul is saying, don't be hypocrites with this love. That's what is filling us is God's love, or supposed to be filling us is God's love. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Now, I'm going to just stop here real quick. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Please. Listen to the Holy Spirit about hospitality. If God is telling you to be hospitable towards somebody, take them to lunch, have them over. You do it. But there are people, they go, well, I'm just a hospital type of person. And then they wonder why they keep getting robbed. You got to listen to the Holy Spirit. because not every person that comes through the church door has good intentions. So that's why you listen to the Holy Spirit. Even when I pick up a hitchhiker, I listen to God. I don't just pick up random hitchhikers. God said, pick him up. I saw one the other day in the rain. Nope. Kept right on going. Be honest with you, it was dark, and I don't know if he'd have gotten a truck with me any. You don't get in a truck with a guy that's got chainsaws, so. I'm just saying. It gets a little too many chainsaw movies. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Wow. I think it's ringing through the drums or something. Bless them. Do not curse them. You know, we make fun of the Jehovah's Witnesses a lot, don't we? Yeah, you do. Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. Oh, come on. They believe that the more you persecute them, the better of a believer they will be. Christians, on the other hand, oh, I don't want any persecution for my faith. But you better start believing in it because you're living in it. In this country. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. We're supposed to share. But no, that is not what society teaches us. That is not what Christianity is teaching us. Say, I'm in my own little cubicle. Don't talk to me. Don't bother me. I'm in my own little world. You know, Bob just lost a friend, 55 years. He's known this cattleman for 55 years, and the man just died this week. And that's there at the funeral today. And my heart goes out to him. Because this man was one, was respected in the cattle world, and he was a good friend of Bob's. He's going to miss him. And I'm going to rejoice when your baby is born. Because we share. We're attached. We, believe it or not, are family. We are all brothers and sisters. And you can ask my sister, we don't always get along with everything, do we? No. When you're growing up, that's why you screamed and you fought and you threw things at each other. Get out of my room! That was my deal. Get out of my room! Which, I was 4 years old the last time I had my own room. Because when I had the chance for my own room, I got married. So I don't know any different. Yes, I would. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. In other words, you can't have your favorites. If somebody rejoices, you rejoice. If somebody suffers a little bit, you need to feel for them. Well, it's what they get. That is what rises up in me so much. And that's a wrong spirit. That's a religious spirit. That is not the spirit of Christ. Because even though the woman at the well said, Lord, will you heal my daughter? And he said, well, it's not good. I came for the house of Israel, and it's not good to give the meat to the dogs. He just called her a dog. And she said, yes, Lord, but even the pups get the scraps. He didn't give her what she deserved. He gave her what she wanted. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Now, here's a real slippery slope. Don't set your mind on the high and mighty things. Well, we got to be the rulers. We got to do that. Really? You do know it corrupts corruptible men, right? Leadership does that. When you're up in those positions, it corrupts. Power corrupts. Why is it men of God want it? Jesus said, this should not be so among you. Only Gentiles seek to rule over one another. And I'm going to be honest with you, that's what a lot of people were trying to help me to form into as far as a pastor. And I just go, like, God, why does that make me want to vomit? And then I would see things, and he said, it's not for you to make people to come to church. It's not for you to make them walk the walk when they're outside. It's your job to open your mouth when they're there and preach the truth that I put in there. So if you want to go outside those doors and act like a buffoon, just know God has ways so that Sunday morning you might be what I'm preaching about. I've actually had people get mad at me. Did you seriously want me to address the issue one-on-one in front of everybody? Or would you rather I just kind of do the shotgun thing and then other people, and here's what the hilarious part is, other people would come to me, not that person, they'd come mad at me, okay? They got mad at me. Other people would say, come and say, Pastor, that hit me right where I needed it. Difference of heart, they were humble, they were not. So we're supposed to associate with the humble. That doesn't mean that you think you're everybody's doormat. No. Jesus did not think he was everybody's doormat. He didn't take garbage off of anybody. He stood for what was right, and sometimes it was a little uncomfortable. It was a little uncomfortable for the Apostle Paul. How about John the Baptist? It became uncomfortable to stand for the truth and to preach the truth and to do what was right. But then Jesus would do something totally blow these religious freaks out of the water. He'd be walking down the road. Here's a little dude been stealing money off of people all these years off their taxes. And he says, hey, go home and get some dinner ready. I'm coming to your house. They're like, what are you talking about? You're going to go to his house? He's been stealing money from us. And Jesus went and he showed that man the one thing everybody denied him. Love. Let me put it this way. They denied him the love before he became a tax collector. Because he knew how hated tax collectors were. He said, you know what? I'm going to get a job and I'm going to have the last laugh. But when Jesus came and he showed Zacchaeus love, he said, Master, I will not only restore what I took, I will give more. Jesus associated with a man who everybody thought was all prideful and arrogant, and the truth of the matter was the man was just hurting. And he really was humble. So you can't judge a humble man on whether he washes his car all the time or not. You can't judge a humble person on whether they walk upright. You can't judge a man or a woman because they dress nice. You judge them by their words, how they treat people. And by the way, that's you're judging the fruit, not the person. You go judging the person, you're going to find yourself standing in judgment. That's why Jesus said, judge the fruit. I have a good peach tree. Got one good one. I planted two, but I know for a fact I've got one good one because I had one peach. And it was good. And I shared it with my wife. It wasn't real big, but when I saw the, and I'm glad I did because Jesse was circling. He'd come running in one day. He's like, where'd that peach go? I said, I ate it. I was going to eat it. Exactly. He did that to my strawberries. I would be looking. I saw one of my first strawberries come out. Oh, yeah, there we go. There we go. It's about ready. I come back. It's gone. Just like, oh, Dad, the strawberries are delicious. How do you know? Oops. Anyhow. Do not be wise in your own opinion. We don't need to go expound on that, do we? Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Again, here's this, all men. For what is good in the sight of all men? Because I'm going to tell you something, folks. Sometimes what one person sees as good may not be what another person sees as good. I'm one, and I've stood for it, and I've preached it from day one, that in order for us to have the freedom of religion, I have to protect the atheist's right to not believe in God. I have to protect the Satanist to believe that Satan is God. I've got friends and other preachers who will think I'm nuts, that I'm heretical. But if they take away my right, we have to take away their right, and we have to serve the God that the government says to serve. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. This is real simple. As much as possible with you. If you have it within your means, if it's not that big of a deal to you, let it go. You don't have... Jesse, bring me down just a little bit. You do not have to be right all the time. I remember one time when we lived here in town, I had a weird driveway, and you'd go up it and slide off of it, and people would get stuck in my driveway all the time. And it was just, when the house was built, Model A's were the car, okay? You know, with bicycle tires. This lot was never designed to handle a four-wheel drive truck. And I actually had to pull one off of the hill because he slid off and got stuck. My sister-in-law got stuck. I got stuck. And so one day I said, you know what? I'm going to fix that problem. And I started building a retaining wall. Checked with the city, village solicitor, or the administrator said, if it was my property, I'd do the exact same thing. And so I put a retaining wall in there, built that retaining wall. My neighbor didn't care for that. And he and I had words. And as I'm about halfway down through there, I mean, I'm fuming. I've been fuming this whole time. Plus, God, who's he going to tell me that? I didn't have anything good to think about him. And this scripture came to my mind. When at all possible, live peaceably with all men. Their issue was because his house was built 6 inches from my property line. It was actually technically his problem, not mine. He's like, I can't get a wheelbarrow through there. You take a wheelbarrow around the other side of the house anyhow. You do nothing on this side. But as I'm there, I'm anchoring these things with half-inch rebar that's 2 feet long. So not only am I going through the one railroad tie, I'm going through two or three down below it. And I've got this whole nice section looking good. And God said, didn't I call you to be a peacemaker? My God. Because this section was the big fight. And he said some other things about the rest of it. And I said some things about his house. But God said, I called you to be the peacemaker. I said, so what do you want me to do about it? I want you to tear that section of wall out. 4 layers of railroad ties spiked together with half-inch rebar, 2 feet long. And I had to tear it apart. I spent more time tearing that section apart than I did building the first 25 feet. My lesson? Listen to God. If I had just spent some time praying instead of fuming and getting all mad at him about this is my right. It was my right. Even had the village on my side for once. But I didn't have God on my side. And he counted more. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. We do not have to seek out our own vengeance. Wrath will come upon him because of judgment. Jesus said, this world is judged because I am righteous and I have come. That's why there are people that say, why are you judging me? And all you said was, I love you or something. Had nothing to do with it. Why are you judging me? They're already judged. Their spirit feels the judgment, and they're about to begin experiencing the wrath. I need you to understand something. I really want to see what happens with Israel. Okay, like I said, I believe the church will be raptured out, taken away. And I know rapture is actually a Latin word. It's not in your Bible. You're not going to find it Greek. It talks about we will be taken away. We don't need to get into that today. But I personally am hoping for kind of a midway part. I want to see how God brings Israel's enemies to her knees. To their knees. Look at Russia. Syria. Iran. Holy Toledo. They're going to do something to little old Israel. Israel's tiny. What is it, I think, New Jersey? Maybe the size of New Jersey, something like that. Rhode Island. I was thinking Rhode Island at first. Then I thought, no, that's too small. No, that's what I thought it was. Rhode Island, the size of Rhode Island, our smallest state. Tiny. And God says, out of all the world, this is my land. This is the apple of my eye. And as a matter of fact, the Bible says that he'll hook them. They're going to rethink this, and God's going to set a hook in them and drag them into it. Just like he did Pharaoh. He kept setting a hook in Pharaoh, and he kept going after Israel. And then he brought Egypt to its knees, and Egypt has never and never will again be the power that it was. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Ladies and gentlemen, this is why we must continue to send gifts and offerings to nations that do not serve God. This is why we must, and this is our little forte, continue to send shoeboxes to Muslim countries. They will gladly let this stuff come in so that these children can have a little bit of stuff, and they'll take the food, they take the wells. Let's do it, because by doing so, listen, everybody, well, if you ain't sending Bibles, I'm not giving a dime. Let's get through this. This is a book. The Word of God is alive and well and lives within us. The Bible says, give a gift, drink, and food. You give that to them in the name of Christ, you will by no means lose your reward. But we've got so bent out of shape, but I am so glad that Samaritan's Purse puts inside each one of those little shoe boxes a copy of the gospel in their language. And they teach those children. And they also get to teach the parents. I love that. That is awesome. That is being a Christian. Building the biggest church in the city is not being a Christian. As a matter of fact, I pray that finally all these mega churches figure it out. You're huge, but you're full of weenies. I'm sorry, they are. When you get so big, people come and hide. I started to try it. I found one of the biggest churches in Jacksonville. I'm going to go hide. God gave me a wife that wouldn't let me hide. Drug me right back into serving, which is where every Christian should be. I mean, I even did a few things I wasn't comfortable with. I didn't even have a family yet. I mean, I had a wife, but no kids. And there was a boy there who we were having a father-son camp out. I said, I'll take him. He's a little black boy. I don't even remember his name because he only came to church a couple times. when they went to get him, his mom said he wasn't going, so there I was, me and my dog. And she was a girl. But I actually started building some bonds with some of the other brothers in the Lord, so, and it started pushing me out of my comfort zone. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now we need to pray, we need to seek God on what things are evil. Because some things we may say, well, that's evil and that's good. And the truth of the matter is, it might be vice versa. Well, Pastor, evil is clear cut. Well, let's see. You know, I was thinking about something Pat was talking about yesterday at breakfast. When they were in the helicopters, and we were talking about, I saw the Ashaw Valley, which is where Pat flew a lot, on a thing about helicopters in Vietnam and through warfare. And he said when we would go through those mountains, he said we'd see herds of deer. And he said we had orders to eliminate them. Now, there's a part of me that's like, but what about the people? You know? But he said we had orders because the Viet Cong would take those from the people and they'd use them for food. And the Viet Cong was our enemy. So what my little religious mind jumped up and said, that's evil. They understood why they were doing it because they were fighting an enemy that didn't care about the people that were there. And yet I do know that the U.S. military, some of them would even give them their meals when they were hungry and they knew. There's too many pictures of them. The U.S. military is the most compassionate military in the world. They're the only ones that can go through a country where even some of the people in the village were trying to kill them. And they'll take food out of their pocket and give it to a child who one day may grow up and try to kill them. So, do not be overcome by evil. Listen. I'm going to say this, say it once, maybe twice. Just because our government is turning Antichrist. The Antichrist spirit has been in the world since Jesus was here, and I dare say even before. The spirit of Antichrist has been here. It is now manifesting itself in Washington, D.C., in the sheer fact that the men and women we have elected who said, I believe in Christ, I believe in God, are sitting by and letting this thing happen. The president does not have the powers that he's exercising. Why is he getting away with it? Because he's playing into the hands of God Almighty. The United States, and I know you need, I'm going to say it, I'm going to keep saying it until people finally get it out, figured out. God needed the United States to step away from Israel. Because one, we become high and mighty. Well, we saved Israel. You won't touch Israel because of us. Now that the United States is off, Israel's enemies are going to say, all right, we can take Israel. And God says, gotcha. You fell for the bait. Come on in, boys. Because you need to understand something. I don't remember if it was Perry Stone. Oh, it was that other guy. No. One we heard over at Pastor Dosek's. I can't remember his name, but he said back when Iran was initially trying to build their nuclear power plants, these things are they're self-contained. There's no lines in, no lines out. And what does that tell you about a nuclear power plant? It's not a power plant. Okay? These nuclear facilities have no lines in, no lines out. They don't have internet in them. Their computers are all linked inside, internally. Nothing can come in or come out, and yet they got a virus in their computer system that wiped them out and has still shut them down to this day. And you know what they blamed? The God of Israel. That it could only be the God of Israel working for them. God's setting that hook. I love it when the fish keeps hitting at that and baiting. Boy, you get that hook set, and boy, they want to fight, and they want to fight. Just keep on wearing yourself out. Keep it up. The only thing I've ever caught that I could not wear out was a 700-pound Evinrude. The guy that owned the boat put the boat motor in reverse, pulled my line right in. That was my best fight ever. I'm like, oh, this is my first time deep sea fishing. I'm going nuts. And I made a stupid mistake. I'm going to tell you right now, that hurt. I never did, never will again. I'll just throw the pole. Forget that. Pat's up there laughing and laughing and laughing. I'm like, what the heck? He said, I just pulled your line into the motor. It's like, man, I thought I was going to get the biggest fish. Because I had fished before I gave up all the good tackle. We were down to pieces and parts, and I had an old pole that I had about 5 hooks off of this. I caught a skate, a sea bass, a pigfish, a few other things. They weren't big. I got a little seasick. All right, chapter 13. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? The authorities that are in power right now are appointed by God. I need you to understand something about what Paul and the disciples were facing. They had tyrannical leaders like Caligula, who killed just because he thought it was funny. Caesar. All of these people. This is the type of leadership they had. And here's the Apostle Paul saying, we should be subject. And this is where I started having the problems. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. Okay, FYI, it does not mean we deny Christ. Ever. We never compromise the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We never deny Christ. But we're going to take away your tax exemption. You can have it. My God provided taxes through a fish one day. You don't think the money can't come in? God will take care of me. God will take care of my church. My faith is not in the government. For he is God's minister to you for good, but if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger of execute wrath on him who practices evil. There, I'm going to tell you something else that's happening right now with the current government we have that is very antichrist. It's bringing fake churches to their knees. So many churches who have been teaching the true heretical grace message that, you know, Jesus Christ came, died, you can live however you want, you can do whatever you want, treat people however you want, you're already saved. That's bunk. It's garbage. Okay? You can come in this church, say a prayer, and walk out and never be changed. You don't have salvation. I'm sorry. Salvation comes with a change. Because otherwise, what's the point in me coming in and even saying a prayer to begin with? If I'm not changed, what's the point? If I had gone to boot camp, graduated boot camp, and had not changed in one bit, what was the point of going through 3 months of hell? None. But I changed. I gained 20 pounds. Yeah, I didn't know I could have so much muscle. I gained 20 pounds. And gained a self-confidence that carries me today to the point of arrogance. If you know Marines, you know that is the way we all are. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, or what you're going to get in trouble for, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to customs, fear to fear, to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Now, that one honestly kind of kicks me in the seat of the pants. I don't want to honor certain men and women, but I have to, for conscience sake. Your Bible says it. Anybody's Bible does not say that. That's the New King James Version. You're reading it right there for yourself. Owe no one anything except love one another. For he who loves one another has fulfilled the law. Now again, we're not talking just your brother and sister sitting beside you in the church. We're talking about people out there. I got a few situations going on that, as Merle Haggard put it, you're walking on the fighting side of me. And that side's not nice. That's the side that told my neighbor what I really thought about him. But that's not the side that needs to be shown. I got to love everybody. I got to love the people who are persecuting me, who are treating me wrong, who are doing things wrong to me. Doesn't mean I got to sit back and keep taking getting slapped. You can only take so much of that. I'll just be flat out honest. I don't care who you are. You can only get slapped so many times. They had to crucify Jesus because I got a feeling in the back of his mind, he's thinking, you know what? Those six legions of angels are sounding pretty good right about now. Let's just call them down. As a matter of fact, we know it was because he's in the garden praying for another route. God, if it's possible, can we do this another way? Because I know what they're going to do. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Doesn't tell him what he really thinks. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. I'm going to put it this way. Not because I told him what I thought, it's because I didn't say it out of love. I'm going to be honest with you. I was angry. I was ready to take on him, his dad, and his brother. And since they were all a lot older than me, I knew I could stood a chance. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of the sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to see it. I have not seen my salvation, but it is about to come. And it is nearer now than it was 30 years ago. It is time we awake, and that particular part spoke a lot to me. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Can I tell you a little something? We've been putting on the armor of the flesh. We've been hiding behind things. We're afraid to say what's right because somewhere along the line, we've got it in our mind that people who are, just because they're up and big in the church, are untouchable. We're supposed to keep each other in check. Okay? And if we've got a brother in the Lord who's sinning, we should say something to them. Is that not what the Apostle Paul taught? Yes, it is. You take it to them. But they're so prideful and arrogant. If that's the case, they will fall. It's what Proverbs promises us. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Ladies and gentlemen, the night is about over and morning is coming. I'll share some more about that maybe a little bit later. The night is spent. Morning is at hand. It's time for us, the body of Christ, to be real Christians. That if somebody's pointing a gun at us and say, "Are you a Christian?" we say, "Oh yeah." And then some. And not be filled with terror and fear. You know, as Rob and I were talking about that, he said, "You know, here's what I wonder. How many people were sitting out there who, when they said, 'I want all Christians to stand up,' and they began executing believers, how many of them stayed seated? They may have got shot by a stray bullet or something. But now, a couple days later, the guilt sets in. I had the opportunity to stand for my Savior, and I denied Him. I denied Him, just like Peter. It took Jesus Christ coming back face to face with Peter and telling him three times what He wanted him to do to restore Peter. It's time. I have been at the conclusion for a long time. I will not deny Christ. I will not fear and worry about my family. If somebody does that, first off, I'm sorry, but that's the part of me that's going to rise up. You're going to get to deal with that first. Unless the hand of God comes down just like it did with the lions in the den and clamps down. I will fight. It's what I do. But when it's all said and done, I will not deny Christ. I will not deny my Savior. I will not deny Adonai. Because I don't fear death. And that's where I believe a lot of those people are. They fear death. I think it takes people who have been faced in situations knowing they could have died. Not just combat. I never saw combat, but I got over that fear of death. I got over the fear of death because I had a machine gun blow apart in my face. Not just a little jammed round. The barrel came off. This far in front of my face. The machine gun fired 1,100 rounds per minute. The instructor that was in the hole with me was going the other way as fast as he could. And I just stood there, totally protected. Was nearly hit by a taxi cab. Have no idea where he came from, but bless God, somehow I cleared an entire double lane of road in one shot. And I know it's not because of my great abilities. I believe there was an angel there, grabbed me by the seat of the pants, and away I went. That's just a few of the others. Pat can tell you things. I'm sure Harold can tell you things. You can probably tell me some things. How God protected you. And even how you might be the only one out of a bad situation to have survived. And you're saying, "God, why me?" He ain't done, and He needs you. He knows you're the one that'll obey. He knows you're the one that'll do what He needs. We have things we're supposed to do on this planet. When Bernice Southard, I talked to her years back, I painted a garage for her, and she's like, "Pastor, I don't..." She called me pastor. I said, "You ain't going to call me pastor. I'm not your pastor." And she said, "Well..." She said, "I'm blind, I'm old, I've been a widow for however many years. I've asked God, why am I still here? And I told her, I said, Bernice, God's not done with you. She was almost 90 at that point. I think she died when she was 92. I said, God's not done with you. He's got some things you still need to do. And the truth of the matter is, God is not done with any of us yet. That's why He protected us. Well, why couldn't He have protected so-and-so? I loved them so much. Listen, there's things you don't understand. First off, let's go with children. I know some of you in here have lost children. There's an age of accountability. And I believe God knows that that child would get old and turn their backs on Him. See, eternity's forever. The 80, 90 years we live here are temporal. They're just a drop in the bucket. We can't focus on, well, you know, in the next 5 years, you know, what's going to happen? Don't know, and I'm excited to see. Because I've been reading the book of Revelation for a long time, and I'm starting to see some of this stuff happening. Pastor, you ain't seen no grasshoppers with the face of men. No, but I have seen attack helicopters that shaped like locusts with the face of men. You need to get your imagery right. I have seen the very things that John saw, that Ezekiel saw, that Isaiah saw, that Daniel saw. These things are happening in our lifetime. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? We live in the lifetime all the prophets wanted to live in. And yet we sit back, oh, I wish I was born back in such and such a time. And they were like, I wish I lived when they are living right now. And folks, you're going to know it's real when you see Enoch and Elijah preaching the gospel on television around the world. So what's happened in this country is sad. And I'm not saying we sit back and we just say, well, you know, we're just going to take our punches, get killed, whatever. No, there are laws in this country. And by the way, as far as the government's concerned, we are the government. That is why we do have the right to say things. That is why it is such an atrocity that the senators and congresspeople that we have elected are not doing their job. But I do know that it is because they have to do this for God's sake. He's got a plan. I mean, I can only imagine being Moses, and God does this wonderful miracle for Moses, and Pharaoh says, get your people and go. Moses walks out. All right, guys, let's go. They go. They hit the edge of the city, and Pharaoh says, I don't think so. As a matter of fact, I'm going to beat you and make it harder. Imagine being Moses. And we look at David. And the 400 men that were with David, you know, they were poor, they were broke, they were in debt. They just lost their families to neighboring marauders. They were going to kill David, 400. Imagine being Moses with nearly 2 million. And him and Aaron are the only two really standing. And every time he goes, he gets jerked back. And then they finally get going, and now they're looking at the Red Sea, and they're like, okay, Moses, why did you take us off the beaten trail? There's a path. We could have been there in 3 days. We've been traveling for nearly a week. And we get down here, and there's the Red Sea, and now we're trapped. And you know what God was saying? I got you. Right where I want you. Now Moses, turn and see the salvation of the Lord. Don't you be worried about what's happening in the news. Don't you be worried about what's happening in the world. You pray. continually. When somebody comes to your mind, you pray for them. I don't care what you're doing. No, you don't have to stop and lift your hands and all. If you can, if that's what you want, then you do that. Sometimes I pray and I got a chainsaw in my hand. It's a little difficult. But the point is, we shall not back down. You're here for a reason. We're here for a reason. And God is going to get the glory. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to speak to the young people right now. There's enough of them in here. Don't be thinking that you're going to do your own thing. Time's too short. Time is way too short. So many people, I was over at somebody's house the other day and they were showing me pictures. It turns out I went to school with their kids, of their daughter's children. She's had one child and she adopted three more. And the boy and the girl on the back, both parents died of drug overdoses. Both of them. And you know what happens? Oh, I can do it. It's not going to hurt me. You can't play in the devil's playground, folks. You cannot play in it. So if you're playing around and you're thinking about it, knock it off. That's why Paul said we need to walk as if we're in the light. Not running around at night, we're partying, we're having a good time. Isn't that usually the last words before somebody's pronounced dead? Because they got in their car and they drove it off and hit a tree. We need to be vigilant. Peter put it this way, we've got to be vigilant. For our adversary, the devil, he's roaming about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He doesn't want to come out and play putty tat games with you. He wants to kill you. Lions do not play with their prey. They kill it. And don't think you can control the devil. Don't think it. It's not worth it. So many people that I've known, I've even buried a few of them. Just thought that I'll just go and continue doing it. And then people say, well, God, why did you take our daughter? God didn't take your daughter. The overdose did. You sitting there pretending you're all holy and all this. Why ain't you got a preacher? You had to contact me to do your funeral. Ain't a one of you had a preacher. They always say you need a preacher two times in your life. When you get married, and when you get buried. I just assume you need the preacher throughout the whole time. That's why God gave them to us. Because sometimes, and that is my prayer, sometimes I can say just one thing. I hope each one of you got something in it, but it doesn't have to be the same thing. I don't care about that, because I'll probably preach the same message in a different manner in about 6 months. I'm not going to try to create a whole new series. This is a new series, something new devices I found in the devil's toolbox. There's nothing new in the devil's toolbox. We are just sheep. Throw a little bit of feed in front of us or alfalfa and we'll just follow you wherever you want, devil. That's what we do, don't we? Oh, my goodness. All right, let's stand. God is moving, folks. God is working. And the people that are crying out, why, God, why, don't know him yet. Remember, in the day of Paul, the day of Peter and John, it was sport to take Christians, their children, wives, and put them in a ring with lions and no way to defend themselves. It was sport. If you think for 1 minute that we are above that in this country and in this world right now, you are nuts. People are killing because they can. They don't fear the law. They don't fear that. They've already made peace that they're going to die. That's all there is to it. Don't be fretting about what's going on in the world, in the economy. Listen, if because you're a Christian, you lose your job, we all lose our job, so what? Because by the way, you lose your job, I lose my job. But we will not fear. We will not be moved by what the devil may throw at us. Because I'm a child of God. And while Elijah was a great prophet and man of God, I'm greater. I got something Elijah didn't have. I got the Holy Spirit. I don't have to wait for that raven. I can say, hey, I need that bread. Let's go. Water? We got water. But don't think for 1 minute God's going to let you starve. I don't know about you, but I know I can drop about 20 pounds. My belly's not telling me that right now, but I can tell you this much. We will not be abused or neglected by God. Amen. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you for this day. And Lord, we truly do pray for those families of all that were affected by this shooting. Lord, we pray first off that our country, our lawmakers, and everybody involved will see the truth and the rhetoric of the lies that are being spread. Lord, I pray that you continue to keep your hands upon your people and protection over them, Father. Lord, I pray that you give us each and every one of us wisdom, Father, throughout this coming year on who to vote for, who to trust, who to look out for, Father. And we know, Lord, that you will have the person that you want in there for right now. Father, whether we agree with your plan or not is not for us to judge, but we will continue to walk and trust you and believe in you. And now, Father, I thank you for these people. I pray that you bless them, Lord. As they go about this week, Father, I pray you open doors of opportunity to share your love with people, Father, and that as they do that, Father, that you will fill their hearts with such joy and peace that they will not be able to. In Jesus' name, amen.